Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
We bless your name, Lord, tonight. We thank you, Father. We delight in waiting on you. We recognize that whenever we do that, you renew our strength and you give us new hope. I thank you, Father, for everyone here tonight. Thank you for anybody who is watching us tonight. I ask in the name of Jesus that you will bless us all and that you will touch us. We give you glory and honor tonight. Thank you, Father, that your presence is with us. We worship you, Lord. We bless your name, Lord.
Here I am waiting. Abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you, only you, Lord. Hide me in your love, bring me to my knees, bring me to my knees.
Oh, somebody say, may I know Jesus?
May I know Jesus more and more.
I think we can say that again. Here I am waiting, Lord.
Here I am waiting. Abide in me, I pray.
Abide in me.
Oh, yeah. Here I am longing for you. Here I am, Lord.
Here I am longing
only for you. You're the one I desire. You're the one I yearn for. So hide me in your love, yes.
Hide me in your love.
I need you to bring me to my knees.
Bring me to
in surrender to you.
Money.
Oh, yes. Oh, may I know Jesus more and more.
May I know Jesus more and more.
Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Lift your voice to Him, saying, come live in me. Come live in me. All my life, take over,
making your prayer tonight. Come breathe in me,
come breathe in me,
and
I will rise.
I will rise on eagle's wing.
Yes, I will.
Come live in me. Come live in me.
All my life.
Please, Jesus, would you
take over?
I want to feel your breath in me. Come breathe in me. And I will rise. eagle's wings. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Beautiful Savior. It is you that I adore. Second verse.
Beautiful Savior.
I love to sing your praise. You never forsake me.
You never forsake me.
You're always there.
You're always there.
Tell him each passing moment. Each passing moment, it's you that I adore.
It's passing moment.
It's you that I adore.
It's you that I adore.
I love you, Jesus. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
I love you, Jesus.
More and more.
More and more.
Please hear my prayer tonight, Lord. Come breathe in me.
Come breathe in me. All my life, take over.
Come breathe in me.
Come breathe in me.
And I will rise on
you. Rise.
I know that I will mount up with wings
on
like
eagles.
Tonight, if you breathe in me, so much will change.
Come breathe in me.
All my life, take over,
take over.
Come breathe in me. I will rise.
I will rise
on eagle's wings.
On eagle's wings.
Just breathe your name upon me. Breathe.
Just breathe your name upon me. Breathe.
What's his name?
Yahweh is your name. Breathe, Lord.
Just breathe your name upon me.
Just breathe your name upon me.
Breathe. Just breathe your name upon me, Lord.
Just breathe your name upon me.
Breathe. Oh, just breathe your name
just
upon me.
Just breathe your name upon me.
Breathe. Yahweh is your name.
Yahweh is your name.
Breathe, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Just breathe your name upon me.
Breathe. Thank you, Father, tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. And let the people of God say, amen. Please clap your hands and bless the name of the Lord. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. Please stand with me to Proverbs 27, verse 17. And let's welcome Pastor James to join the team of instrumentalists and musicians. Glory be to God. I suppose that the Spirit of the Lord has come upon him, so now he can play a musical instrument. All right, Proverbs 27, verse 17 from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And then 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. It says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these, which means transfer them to faithful men who will be able to teach others
also. Hallelujah. Amen. So we've been looking at the broad subject of mentorship. And we've looked at the mentorship advantage. Now, if you're going to do better in life, and if you're going to succeed more easily, one of the things that can help you to achieve this is to have somebody else who is more experienced, who is mature, and of course, a trustworthy person to guide you, to teach you, to influence you, and help to develop you so that you can become everything that God wants you to become. Praise the name of Jesus. And that is what mentorship advantage is all about. For the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at biblical truths in relation to the mentorship advantage. And we looked at different things, that mentorship is God's ordained pattern for developing people. We said that God created us so that we can grow through godly relationships and mentorship. It's another biblical truth. And that every generation has a God-given responsibility to mentor the next generation. That's another biblical truth. Number four, Jesus himself demonstrated mentorship by intentionally investing in his disciples. Number five, mentorship helps us to see what we could not otherwise see. Number six, through mentorship, we gain the wisdom that we need to thrive and succeed. Number seven, mentorship provides the guidance we need for life's journey. Number eight, mentorship exposes and corrects attitudes. Number nine, through mentorship, we are encouraged to press on despite challenges. And number 10, through mentorship, we are prepared for greater responsibility and accountability. Hallelujah. Now, tonight, I want us to take a look at the qualities for effective mentorship. Qualities for effective mentorship. If you're going to be mentored effectively, there are certain qualities you must have. There are certain qualities you must develop. And we get an idea about these qualities when we look at the examples of people who were mentored in the Bible. Now, take the one that we've looked mostly at, Moses and Joshua. In Numbers 27, verse 18 to 23, would you please turn your Bibles to that with me? Numbers 27, verse 18 to 23. The Bible says, give me the New King James Version if you don't mind. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, he and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation. And so Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands on him and inaugurated him, just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. So what you see here is a leadership succession. And it could take place because Moses, all the years, you know, that he was leading the people up to this time, had been mentoring Joshua. Now, Moses was 80 years old when he was commissioned to lead the people into the promised land. The first time we hear of Joshua was when he was leading the armies of Israel into battle against the Amalekites. Usually, if you are like the army general, you must be quite mature, maybe around 40 years. So even though the Bible doesn't tell us specifically how old Joshua was, he must have been around 40 years old. So we can safely say to a very large extent that Moses started mentoring Joshua from when he was 40 years old. And he mentored him for 40 years, because Moses died when he was 120 years old. And during that 40 years, there were a lot of things that he taught Joshua, and there were a lot of things that Joshua went through. Joshua learned about faithfulness, he learned about commitment, he learned about devotion, and what have you. Then you look at other examples of mentorship, Elijah and Elisha. That's also another good example. So let's look at their story in 1 Kings chapter 19, reading from verse 15 to verse 21. 1 Kings 19, 15 to 21. Then the Lord said to him, so this was God speaking to Elijah. You know, when he started complaining that he was tired and, you know, he's been struggling all by himself. There's nobody else like him, you know. And you see, one of the things that you should avoid when you're walking with the Lord is complaining a lot. If you're serving God, do not be full of complaints. Do it cheerfully, do it willingly, do it eagerly. There'll definitely be challenges along the way. And you see, this thing that I am saying is like the Spirit of God is speaking to me myself. Because I've been unhappy with some people that I am working with and I'm serving, but I don't like their attitude, you know. And I've realized that I'm beginning to be affected by their things. But as I'm saying this to you, God is also speaking to me. And that's the beautiful thing about preaching, you know. So I always explain to people that, look, we are not like some supermen who don't have any issues or struggles. Yeah, you call us men of God. That's what we are. But we are not God. We are men. And it's just the grace of God upon us that enables us to do the things that we do. It could have been possible that you will be standing here ministering and I will be sitting down there being ministered to. It is God who makes us to differ from another. And he said, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. Praise the name of Jesus. And it is God who decides who he wants to use, when he wants to use the person, however he wants to use that person. And, you know, whenever he wants to use the person. Amen. So when we're ministering to you, actually, we are actually ministering to ourselves. And there are many times that I've said things, and I'm wondering where that thing came from. You know, because I didn't plan it, I didn't think it. Some of the things that I'm saying now, I didn't plan to say them. But God is amazing. He has a way of bringing up issues. So we minister under the influence and under the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I have an amen from somebody? All right. So in 1 Kings 19 verse 15, then the Lord said to him, that is Elijah, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. And there are people that God has prepared to take your place. Never feel indispensable. Never get to the place and feel that without me, nothing can be done. It's a dangerous thought. Because as soon as you start thinking that way, it means that you must start preparing for your retirement. Because you'll be there, no, God will raise somebody else. Hallelujah. So whatever position we occupy, everything that we are doing, we should see ourselves as privileged. And we should do it with all the humility that we can muster. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. So Elisha was into killing. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. He was pointing out to Elijah that you were complaining that you are the only one left. And it's not everything you know, it's not everything that you see. But I have about 7,000 guys who have stayed faithful to me. So this you're talking plenty, you see. You are just shooting yourself, you know, in the foot. So he, this is Elijah, departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen, that is Elisha, and ran after Elijah and said, please, let me go and kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, this is Elijah now speaking to Elisha, go back again, for what have I done to you?
So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh and used the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Now, what Elisha did was to send a clear message that he was abandoning everything that he knew, everything that he ever did, and was just going to devote himself fully to the service of the Lord. And how was he going to serve the Lord? By becoming Elisha's servant. So before Elisha became anointed and became that great prophet he became, he was a servant. And he demonstrated faithfulness. And he demonstrated faithfulness before he was promoted. So already from these two examples that I've given you, you can see some of the qualities that are needed for effective mentorship. Let me give you another example. Naomi and Ruth. Naomi and Ruth. Because Naomi mentored Ruth. Ruth chapter 3 verse 1 to 5. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now, Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on your best garment, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking." Verse 4. "Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in and cover his feet and lie down, and he'll tell you what he should do." And she said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." And the result of all of that was that her destiny was changed. She was humble enough, obedient enough, submissive enough to listen to her mother-in-law who had become her mentor. And because of that, her destiny was changed. Barnabas and Paul is another example of some kind of mentorship. Obviously, in terms of achievements and accomplishment and impact, Paul had a far greater impact. His ministry had a greater impact than Barnabas. I mean, just looking at it from the surface. Really, where these things are concerned, God is the best judge. And I think that whether you do well or not is really dependent on your assignment and how you carry it out. You see, and that's the reason why whatever you are doing in whatever capacity, do it faithfully. It may not look like much. It may not look like you are doing anything significant. But I tell you, like the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. So whatever will be required of you is based on what has been given to you. So the key thing here, ladies and gentlemen, is to aim to be faithful with whatever you have. And I always like to cite the example of the parable of the talents. 5 talents guy, 2 talents guy, they did their best with what they were given. The 5 talents guy earned 5 more. The 2 talents guy earned 2 more. Each one of them received the same recommendation. Exactly the same recommendation was given to the 2 of them. Now, what that should tell us is that if the 1 talent guy who despised what he was given had only done his best with the 1 talent that he had, exactly what was said to the 5 talents guy and was said to the 2 talents guy would have been said to him. Because it is about being faithful with what you have been given. So if you're a cameraman, be faithful with it. If you sit behind the screen and project things, be faithful with it. If you sing in the choir, be faithful with it. If you never stand here to lead a song, be faithful with your backing. Don't be angry. That man will have opportunity. You see, that thing, I've seen some before. And people disgrace themselves. Yes. Because if you have, you have. If you don't have to, you don't have.
And God gives, he gives giftings and abilities to different levels and quantums to his people. And I'm saying to you that whatever you find to do, do it faithfully. So Barnabas mentored Paul. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 26 to 28. Acts chapter 9, 26 to 28. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. They knew him as a killer. That's how they knew him, a murderer. He used to go and carry people from their houses without pity and take them to be judged, and people were killed because of him. You see? So now this guy who had such a bad reputation says he's also a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. Everybody was afraid of him. But then that is where Barnabas came in. The Bible says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. Oh, thank God for Barnabases. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. All that was made possible because Barnabas took Paul under his wings and took care of him. And he believed in him before others did. Sometimes that's what a mentor does. He can see things in you that others cannot see in you. Others may just write you off and dismiss you lightly. But sometimes it takes a mentor to see something in you and to bring that thing out and develop it. Unfortunately, I have had experiences where I've tried to help people to get the very best out of them, but the attitude was all wrong. And that's why I'm talking to you about qualities. You can even label it attitudes that lead to effective mentorship. So another example is Paul mentoring Timothy. Timothy was like a son to Paul. So in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 to 16, it says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, verse 13. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, verse 14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership, 15. Meditate on these things, give yourselves entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. And 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Hallelujah. We see intentional discipleship here. And that's what Paul did with Timothy. Jesus and the 12 disciples was also another clear case of mentorship. And it's the greatest model of mentorship that we have. In Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 15, and he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted. And they came to him. There he appointed 12 that they might be with him. That they might do what? Be with him, and that he might send them out to preach. Verse 15. And to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. So Jesus Christ, when he took off with his earthly ministry, he intentionally and deliberately chose 12 people that he was going to spend time with. They were going to be with him. Notice that there were many other people who were following Jesus. The 12 were not the only followers of Jesus. There were many others. But he intentionally and deliberately chose these 12. And then he spent time with them and he poured himself into them. And he mentored them and he trained them and he took them through different experiences, you know, until finally they became what he wanted them to become. And then he commissioned them and sent them out. All these examples of discipleship were made possible because of certain qualities that those who were discipled had. So what are the qualities for effective mentorship? Number one, humility. Everybody say humility. Hallelujah. If you're going to be mentored effectively, you must be humble. James chapter 4, verse 6. Mentorship and pride are diametrically opposite. It doesn't work. You cannot mentor anybody who is full of pride. Anybody who has a know-it-all attitude. You cannot. So in James chapter 4 verse 6, the Bible says, but he gives more grace. Therefore he, that is God, says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Can you say with me, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. And then verse 10 of James chapter 4, the same chapter, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and what will he do to you? He will lift you up. Hallelujah. So you cannot be lifted up. You cannot be promoted. You cannot be exalted. You can never get to a certain height, a certain level, a certain place, a certain position in life, in any area of pursuit, until you walk in humility. Amen. So that is one of the qualities you need for effective mentorship. Humility. Tell the person sitting by you, please be humble. Why? Yeah. All right. Then the next quality you need for effective mentorship is teachability. Everybody say teachability. Say it again. Teachability. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9. Let's read it this time from the New Living Translation. Proverbs 9, 9. Instruct the wise, and they will be even wiser. Teach the righteous, and they will learn even more. Just stay at verse 10. Verse 9. I beg your pardon. Verse 9. All right. So now, it's talking about people who are wise. That they will become wiser by instruction. Then it talks about righteous people, that they will learn even more through teaching. So that is pointing to teachability. Now, it looks as if there is a connection between humility and teachability. Because if you are not humble, you cannot be taught. Amen. If you are not humble, you cannot be taught. But there's a difference. Humility is having a low and accurate, having a lowly and accurate view of yourself before God and others, without pride or self-importance. I'll say that again. That's what humility is. Humility is having a lowly and accurate view of yourself before God and others without pride or self-importance. That's what humility is about. Now, many of us, the impressions we have about ourselves are wrong. And the way you feel great and the way you feel bad, you are deceived, because you are not as great as you think you are. And you are not as powerful as you think you are. You are not as good as you think you are. You are not as nice as you think you are. You are not as pleasant as you think you are. You are not as effective as you think you are. Humility is what makes you look at yourself and tell yourself. So you see, when somebody is walking in humility, you know, the person often acknowledges that he is what he is by the grace of God. That's one of the things I've seen about somebody who is truly humble. The person recognizes that all that I am, all that I'm able to do, all that I'm able to achieve, I'm able to do it by the grace of God. It has nothing to do with me. That's what humility does for you. And with humility, you see yourself as I'm nothing. And you see yourself as, I'm not anything big. I'm just somebody that God has decided to show mercy to. That's what humility is. Now, teachability is different. Teachability is having a willingness to learn, receive correction, and apply instruction for personal growth. Teachability is having a willingness to learn, to receive correction, and apply instruction for personal growth. So humility says, I don't know everything. Teachability says, please teach me. Humility opens the door, but teachability walks through it. That's the difference between the two of them. Now hear me, my friend. There are people who are humble, but they are not teachable. You may think that everybody who is humble is teachable. But remember the definition I gave to you of what teachability is. It is having a willingness to learn. Very, very important. And a willingness to apply instruction. And sometimes you may have somebody who has a lowly impression of himself, you know, and he doesn't see himself as too important. But the problem is that he's not teachable. Okay? He is not teachable. All right? So that's the difference. And if you are going to be mentored effectively, if you're going to be mentored effectively, you need, number one, humility. You must be humble. If somebody is trying to train you, you must be humble. If somebody takes you on as an apprentice, you are working as an auto mechanic, you've gone to learn the trade, your boss should be able to speak to you, tell you, do this, don't do this, no, stop it, go and get this, go and buy this, go and get this, and all of that. I remember many years ago, I traveled all the way to South Africa. I was sent there to go and learn how to run a printing press. I have no idea the things that I've done in this life before. Because the organization that I was working with wanted to set up a printing press. So I was sent on attachment to a press house in South Africa. And when I went there, I was assigned to some young guy who was a chain smoker. Yeah. And I had to work with him. I had to humble myself because he knows the thing and I don't know it. I was a pastor. I was a man of God. I was what? A man of God. This boy used to send me to go and buy food. To go and buy food and other things for him. Go and take this. Go and pick this. Go and do that. He was sending me all over the place. But I had to humble myself. I had to do what? Humble myself. Otherwise, I wouldn't have learned anything from that experience. Without humility, you cannot be trained. You cannot be mentored. And then you must be teachable. It's not enough to be humble. You must be teachable. Amen. The third quality you need for effective mentorship is faithfulness. Faithfulness. You must be faithful. So in Luke 16 verse 10, the Bible says, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. It's pretty simple and straightforward. Is that not so? Yeah. You see, really, faithfulness is tested with small things. If you're given small assignments and you do them well, it paves the way for bigger assignments to be given to you. That's how it works out. And so, if Trula opens a fashion house, do you have a dream to open a fashion house? Are you sure? If you dream, dream big. What are you going to call it? If you tell me, then you are still thinking about it. You have it, but it's a trade secret. It's not something you want to let out. Yeah, because people are always trying to steal ideas. Okay, I wish you all the best. Now, if she opens her fashion house and she employs, who would you like to employ to work for you? Mami Ahimfa. Oh, Mabel. Mabel is offering herself. And Pastor Joe. Yeah. Now, if she employs you to work with her, it is not that immediately she employs you, she's going to position you behind the sewing machine. Somebody's precious cloth that she has brought to be sewed into a nice dress for her, she's not going to hand that thing over to you because you haven't demonstrated any faithfulness. Amen. If she ever puts you behind the sewing machine, it's a small piece of cloth. Socks. Something very small. She will cut something for you. Try your hand at it. Try your hand at it. Initially, when you sew it, the line was supposed to be straight, but the line is doing some zigzag movement on the cloth. But because she's training you, she's going to be patient with you and tell you, take your time. Don't be in a rush. This is how we move the pedal. This is how we move it and all of that. From there, you're going to be moved on to other things. So little by little by little by little, as you demonstrate faithfulness in little things, you'll be graduated to bigger things. That's how it works out. Hallelujah. So for effective mentorship, it's important to be faithful with little things. Now, this is the problem with many people. There's a tendency to despise little things and feel that, I mean, this is nothing. I watched this film, Karate Kid. All right? And the main character in that film was the son of this famous actor, Will Smith. There was a little boy they relocated to, was it to China? Yeah. And there were these Chinese guys who used to bully him. You know, they'll bully him, catch him, beat him up and everything. And he looked very frail and very little. So one day when he was being attacked, a Chinese man came to rescue him. And he realized that the guy had skills. So he pleaded with the guy to show him how to fight karate so that he can defend himself. Initially, the man didn't want to, but eventually he took him on. Now, the first day he arrived there, he was expecting that the guy would tell him to do pew, pew, ho. I know a bit of these kung fu moves, you see. It's just that of late when I throw my leg, I have to be very careful because it can easily not come back. That's what he was expecting, that from day one, they'll start the movement. Ha! Ho! 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 You know how the Chinese were making noise. But that was not it. All the guy asked him to do was take off your jacket and then put it on a hanger. Then he said, take it from the hanger and wear it. For the first few weeks, I think, that he started training, every day he goes there, that's what he does. All Obo Siames are working karate. But this is all he did. And you see, he had to do that for some time. Till later on, he saw the connection between the movement of the cloth and taking it off. That it was a karate move, but he didn't know. It was from there that he graduated to other things. What am I explaining to you? That if you're going to be effectively mentored, it is important for you to demonstrate faithfulness in little things. And again, I'm stressing to you, my dear friend, whatever assignment that you're given, whatever opportunity you have to do something, do it faithfully. It may not look big. It may not look much. But learn to do everything that you are assigned to do faithfully. Because through that, something great will be imparted unto you. This is a secret that many people ignore. And because of that, they never become what they can become. So that is another quality that you need for effective mentorship. Number four, devotion and commitment. Devotion and commitment. If you are going to be properly mentored, effectively mentored, you need devotion and commitment. And a very good example of that is once again Ruth in the Bible. Ruth chapter 1 verse 16 to 17. Ruth chapter 1 verse 16 to 17. So you're familiar with that story. Naomi had lost her husband, had lost her two sons. Initially, her two daughters-in-law wanted to tag along. She discouraged them. One of them listened to her opera and went back to her own people. But now this was Ruth's response when Naomi asked her to leave her. She said, but Ruth replied, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. Now, what devotion is this? What commitment is this? Is it therefore surprising that she turned out so well and ended up becoming one of the, you know, descendants, I mean, one of the ancestors of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? So when you are tracing the lineage of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you see, in their culture, you don't trace people's lineage using women. It's usually the men. So whenever they are mentioning the genealogy of people and you see that a woman's name is in there, it's odd. It's an exception. It's like somebody is mentioning goat, sheep, cow, dog, chicken. Which one is the odd one out? Why? It has two legs. Yes. So it's easy to spot an oddity, and that's how it was. When you're tracing the genealogy of Jewish people and you see a woman's name, that there's a very special reason why the person is there. And in tracing the genealogy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, yeah, there are these two women who looked odd because they didn't fit in at all. Rahab the harlot and this woman Ruth. Very odd. They were not originally Jewish, but they were included in something that they did not qualify for. And it is all because of a certain posture that they adopted and a certain move that they made. And in the case of Ruth, her commitment and her devotion to Naomi opened a major door for her that changed her destiny forever. What am I saying to you, my friend? That wherever you find yourself, you are working for somebody. You are working under somebody. Do everything that you can to be devoted to the person. And do everything you can to be committed to the person. And even in church, wherever you are, whichever department you work in, whichever leader you work under, teach yourself to be committed and devoted there. And the reason is, when you are committed and devoted, it paves the way for things to be passed on to you and things to be transmitted to you. Commitment and devotion. I can tell you stories. One of the amazing stories I heard, and it's a true story. It was of a maid servant. you know, she was serving some people somewhere. And one day these people had a visitor from outside the country. But the way she was devoted to them, to her boss and the madam, and the way she was devoted to this visitor, the visitor took notice of it. That this lady, she's very committed, pa, and very devoted to you guys. And it's like, because I've come to live with you, there's a certain way she's handling me and treating me. She was just a maid servant. She didn't have much of an education and all of that. And this guy came, traveled down from an European country. When he went back, he never forgot this girl. To cut a long story short, he decided that she's the one he wants to marry. And he married her. This is somebody that you will never expect that she will even go 10 kilometers close to the airport. Very far. Do you know that there are some people, when you look at them, it's like, it doesn't look like this person will ever travel. Yeah. There are some people like that. It's like it's written all over their bodies. A year can come to our own count usually. The guy ended up marrying her and took her to live with her, to live with him. And the last I heard, they are living happily ever after. But there was something that brought that on, her commitment and her devotion. It pays, oh. It pays. It pays. So that attitude that we have when we are doing something, when we are working somewhere, when we are given responsibilities, and we don't do it wholeheartedly, we don't put ourselves into it, we don't handle it with a certain level of commitment and devotion. That is the reason why things don't get better for us. So one of the qualities you need for effective mentorship is devotion and commitment. Let's finish up. Obedience. Obedience. Obedience is another quality that you need for effective mentorship. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 to 8. From the New Living Translation. This is God speaking to Joshua. He said to him, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left." Notice what God told him. Be careful to obey. Everybody say obedience. He said to him, "Then you'll be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night. So you'll be sure to do what? You'll be sure to. Just check. You'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do." God comes to Joshua and encourages him. He says to him, "Be strong and be courageous." But beyond telling him that, he asked him that, obey. All the things that Moses taught you, Moses, your mentor, the things that he taught you, the things that he showed you, apply them, obey them. They were my instructions. Carry them through. That is when you would be successful. That's when you prosper in all your ways. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the qualities that you need for effective mentorship is obedience. Because when somebody is mentoring you, he's going to ask you to do a lot of things. You don't have to struggle with him or her. Just do what you've been asked to do. Just do it. And the lack of obedience and carrying out instructions and directives is often the reason why people don't do well. It's often the reason why people do not amount to much. Because they don't do what they are told to do. And there are some of us, we are very selective in what we do. We do some of the things we are asked to do, and then the other things, we don't do them. But what you don't realize is that it is a package. if you see something that is working, it is not just working because of one thing that was done. There's always a combination of different things being done that makes things work. And I like to use this example. If you taste food and the food is very nice, you taste food and the food is very nice, it is not just one thing that has made the food nice. It's not just one thing that makes the food very nice. So you can't go to somebody's kitchen and you see that the person is using jollof mix. So then tell yourself that, oh, that is all I need for the jollof to work well. It's not just about jollof mix. You need to know many other things. And that's why the Bible says that, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. So many things work together to make things work. Can I have an amen from somebody? That's why you have to learn to obey. And whatever you do, avoid selective obedience. Obeying what you like, what you enjoy, and ignoring what you don't like. When you do that, you will come out half-baked. One of the very painful things in this life is to eat something that is not... it hasn't dawned well. Have you ever eaten yam before that part of it was cooked, the other part was not cooked? It's a very painful thing to eat. Very painful thing. And it's not nice. So that's how it is when you are selective in the things that you do. So learn to obey instructions and directives to the letter if you are going to be mentored effectively. Number 6, patience. If you're going to be mentored effectively, you must be a patient fellow. Hebrews 6:12. New King James Version says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. It is easy to think that all you need is faith, then things will work out for you. No, it doesn't work out like that. You need patience also. Because a lot of good things don't happen in a day, do not happen in an instant. It takes a bit of time. And if you are being mentored, if you are going to be mentored effectively, you must be patient. Don't rush the process. If you rush it, ibiti. If you rush the process, you'll get it wrong. It takes time for things to work well. It takes time. This afternoon, I was counseling a woman who came to see me in the house, having issues with her husband. And I was asking her that, so how? Because I counseled them last week, Tuesday, and I asked her to come see me at home. You know, I wanted to find out how things were going. And she said that not much has changed. Not much has changed. I said that my husband is still doing his thing. She said, I'm tired. He's still doing the same thing that I'm not happy about. I'm talking about something that happened this afternoon. I sat here, she sat there, and she was saying all that. Now, I explained to her that it takes time. It takes time for things to get better. So just be patient, and let's just keep working at things little by little. I believe that it's going to get well. Now, in being mentored, to be mentored effectively, understand that you need a lot of patience. So don't rush the process. Otherwise, you will get it wrong. Last but one, willingness to serve. Willingness to serve. Mark chapter 10, verse 43 to 45. If you're going to be mentored effectively, you need to be willing in service. Willingness to serve. So it says, yet it shall not be so among you. Mark chapter 10, verse 43 to 45. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. This was a very important lesson that Jesus had to teach the disciples. Because no more pray. They were talking about who will be greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus told them, explained to them that these things that you are thinking about, you are so wrong. Your focus must be to serve. You must be willing to serve, because it is through that greatness and promotion comes. So if you're going to be mentored effectively, ladies and gentlemen, you must be willing to serve. If you are here and you don't like to serve, or you complain when you are asked to do anything, then understand that you cannot go very far in life. You will not get very far in life. But those who are willing to serve and to do anything, that's why it really pains me when you see people in church who don't do much. They just come and go. They don't do anything. Obviously, there is a lack of a willingness to serve. Some of the people, you even approach them and encourage them, join this department, join this. But then they start giving you all kinds of cock and bull stories. And it's as if they are the busiest people in the world, busier than the president of Ghana. So anything that you give them to do it, they don't deliver. And there's a certain reluctance to serve willingly and happily. Never be like that. And if you are being mentored, you need to have a willingness to serve. And the last one, commitment to growth. Commitment to growth. If you are going to be mentored effectively, you must be committed to growing. You can't just be at the same place, the same things that you knew, you know, so many years ago. That's all there is. You are not adding on. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. You know, look at what Paul says. Not that I have already attained or I am already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press. Everybody say, I press. Say it again. Yeah. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. And he's saying this at a time when he had achieved so much, had planted so many churches, had gone on so many missionary journeys, had impacted so many lives. But he was not content to just stay where he was. He's talking about pressing forward. Hallelujah. So if you're going to be mentored effectively, you must be committed to growth. Don't just be happy with where you are. You must look for opportunity to go higher, to go deeper, to become better at whatever you are doing. So, I will end that, and it's a challenge that I'm throwing to every one of you, that everyone listening to me must have two lifelong goals or responsibilities. The first one is to be mentored by somebody whose life, character, and walk with God can sharpen yours. Because iron sharpeneth iron. That's one of your goals, to be mentored. And then number two, you should have a goal to mentor somebody else. Amen. To intentionally invest in other people. So have that goal and have that responsibility. And believe God to have somebody to mentor you. And it doesn't matter how old you are, you know, because sometimes when you're very old, you shut off and you feel that certain things, you know, are no longer possible. But you can still be mentored in old age. Joshua was 40 years old when Moses started mentoring him. And that's the reason why I'm mentioning this. Of course, it doesn't say so clearly, but when you put a few things together, that's what you can safely deduce. So I'm saying that we must get to that place, and we must have that responsibility and have that goal that I'm going to allow myself to be mentored. Like when you come to church and I'm ministering to you, in a certain sense, I am mentoring you. So accept it. At your workplace, your boss can be a mentor. The school that you go to, your teacher, your headmaster can be your mentor. You are working in a shop somewhere, your madam can mentor you. Avail yourself to be mentored. But apart from that, look for opportunity to make somebody else's life better and mentor somebody else. Once you pursue these two goals and responsibilities in your life, I believe that you will turn out quite well. That brings us to the end of our teaching on the mentorship advantage. Clap your hands and bless the name of the Lord. Everyone, we are done. Father, thank you for bringing us this far. We've learned so much about mentorship and the advantage it offers us. I pray, Father, let the things that I've shared with your people continue to resonate inside them. And let them be doers of the word and not hearers only. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Say amen again. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.